time to learn from the greats through Carl Kwan, the great.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Not a lot of pressure suddenly. I suddenly feel like I'm not going to be able to do this now.
Well, you should thank Felix for writing that on my script.
He did write that. Darn you, Felix.
So welcome back, Carl.
Well, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me here. Very nice to be here once again, of course.
And I understand we're going to talk about a character from one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really? One of
and
your favorite?
I said it
really?
Three times because the movie is a trilogy.
Really? I didn't know that you were so into, you know, what was it, like the Shrek series? I had no idea.
We're talking about The Matrix.
Yeah, I didn't know. Really, you like The Matrix that much?
Yes,
really?
Yes, wow. It is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Three times once again. So which one of those favorite is your absolute favorite?
That's a difficult choice between first and third.
Really?
I'm going to say third.
Really?
You don't understand the third?
I couldn't understand the third.
The best battle scenes ever, and
I just didn't get it at the end, honestly.
Really?
I had no idea what happened. I'm still confused to this day about what happened. Obviously, I'm not going to refer to
I'll
the
tell
third
you about
movie.
What happened after the show.
Okay.
You need a major lesson in The Matrix.
Really? Okay, mm-hmm. I will have to watch it again. Maybe there was something wrong with me at the time when I saw it.
I've seen this trilogy 1,000 times.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. See, like, I've always liked the first one because we didn't know anything about it. It was kind of like the Neo discovering that he was the one kind of thing. And so I always liked that one for that reason. And also because it was new at that time, you know, the effects and the fighting and everything else about it, the style of the movie was so new at that time. So I think, you know, for me, it was always, you know, the first one.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm torn between the first and the third.
So what was wrong with the second one?
Well, the second kind of left you hanging there, right?
So they could make a third one.
Yeah. Well, you know, they originally planned a trilogy. The first one, you know, had a proper ending. The second one didn't.
Maybe that's what it was. Mm. See, like, the third one did then? Mm. See, because I don't know what the ending was. I have no idea what happened.
Goodness.
Anyway, that's how bright I am. And we should, you know, remove this great label because obviously it's not, you know, related to thinking.
But we're not going to talk about Neo.
Oh,
the
good.
Main character.
Yeah, thank goodness we're not going to talk about Neo today. What are we going to talk about? Morpheus, right?
Morpheus. By Larry Fishburne.
Yes, Larry Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes, he's, well, effectively known as Larry Fishburne.
Is he still? Yeah. You call him Larry. I call him Lawrence. He doesn't allow me to call him Larry.
Yo, Larry.
He's like, oh man, that young hand, don't call me Larry. Anyway, so last time, a while ago, I talked about Luke Skywalker, and you actually mentioned, you know, why don't we talk about, like, Neo sometime? And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, everybody knows something about Neo, but I thought, let's talk about, you know, Morpheus, because he has, you know, a huge, significant role in the movie, in the entire story, and in helping, you know, Neo, you know, realize his potential in the movie, right? Without Morpheus looking for Neo at the beginning of the movie or whatever, basically, we have no movie, right?
He was Neo's mentor.
He was his, like, spiritual guide or whatever in many ways. And Morpheus, to me, is a great leader. I thought he dealt with these, obviously, extraordinary circumstances, even though they were in a movie. Mm-hmm. He did things really, really I think in all leaders kind of take something from this, and there are three things that I thought we can kind of learn from these things, and also for us as well to kind of apply them to be more successful. So I thought, why not talk about Morpheus? Because Neo, what did he do? I mean, he learned Kung Fu.
No, he learned all kinds of martial arts.
Oh, right. He did that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was cool. I would like to do that.
And he was the one.
Which I didn't know, like, until, like, later, that Neo actually, like, were, like, the three letters made, like, the one. I was like, wow, mind-blowing.
Okay, so what are those three lessons we can learn from Morpheus?
Okay, so lesson number one is believing without seeing. Mm. Okay, believing without seeing. Now, Morpheus was as much a spiritual leader as, you know, as he was a military leader. Mm-hmm. You know, he had very strong conviction that what they stood for and what they were trying to achieve was right. You know, this whole idea of, you know, saving mankind from the machines. Mm-hmm. It was for him, I guess, a very sort of noble, you know, mission that they were on. And, you know, he truly believed with all his, you know, with all his spirit, basically, that they were going to succeed. I mean, everything about him just knew that this was going to happen for him. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you know, I'm not sure if anybody knows this, but I didn't know this, but Morpheus in Greek mythology, the god, was actually the god of dreams.
Ah.
Yeah, which is really cool because he talks a lot about, you know, the dream world and, you know, what if you ever, you know, what if you, you know, thought you were in a dream but, you know, couldn't wake up from it. And he talked about all this kind of stuff in the movie as well, had a lot of references to dreams. And so I didn't really realize that until I, you know, realized, I learned that, you know, Morpheus was a god of dreams. And also someone who could apparently transform and metamorphose into different forms as well, different human forms and whatever as well. And so, you know, like I said, you know, it was a very appropriate name for him because of what he did, that he was able to, you know, enter into your dream, you know, the life that you lived in the Matrix, and, you know, awaken you from that.
Yeah, well, you know, the Wachowskis are very smart people. You know, they're, if they're going to name somebody Morpheus, they probably have a reason, a very good reason.
It wasn't just because it sounded cool, right? I was like, that is a perfect name for him.
It does sound cool as well.
And it matches him perfectly, right? You'd think that his name was Morpheus, you know, he was just so cool. But anyway, so he also, what he did was he put others, in this case humanity, all of humanity, ahead of his own personal needs, right? He really sacrificed a lot for his cause. And he had this, you know, deep faith and knowing that what, you know, what he sort of wanted was going to come, right?
Yeah, what he wanted was the one.
Right, what he wanted was the one. And he, you know, and Neo was talking about, you know, what is happening to me? And, you know, Morpheus is like, you are the one, Neo. You know, you see, you know, he quote, I want to sort of quote him here. He said, you see, you may have spent the last few years looking for me, but I've spent my entire life
looking for you. I know.
And it's not just like, you're like shaking. You're like getting chills from listening to that. That's amazing. You're going to go watch it again tonight. But anyway, so, you know, for us, what can we learn from that, right? So, you know, what we can learn from this is asking yourself the question, what drives you? You know, what is it that drives you? Why do you do what you do? And, you know, what is your real purpose in your life? I mean, it's not so easy to kind of figure that out, but I think a lot of us live in this kind of matrix-like, you know, society where we're just kind of...
Routine.
Right, yeah. Routine, going through the motions. We don't know why we're doing it. We think that we're doing it for, you know, whatever, you know, external reasons we're doing it for, but, you know, really we have no sense of purpose or, you know, reason for doing everything we do. So, you know, it's really important also to ask yourself, what is your definition of success? Because aside from these sort of external measures of success that we have, you know, like, you know, cars, home, money, you know, you know, things that we can purchase and have, you need to know that you are also successful from a self-image perspective as well. Thinking about, you know, okay, defining success is, you know, from my own personal, who am I? I'm already successful kind of idea. And also, it's very important that you take action in your life as well. You know, and, you know, something that Morpheus did a lot, you know, he really just acted. He didn't sort of always just sit there and wait for things to happen. He was very proactive. And, you know, it's not always important to take really huge, giant steps all the time because it's actually the smaller ones that have the biggest impact. And it's also very important to remember to take actions when opportunities present themselves and not to dismiss opportunities as insignificant simply because any actions or successes that you have are kind of, you know, kind of compound and build upon each other. So once you have a small success in some area, you can use that to build and continue, you know, growing and you know, more opportunities that come, you'll be able to succeed in those as well. So, you know, always take advantage of opportunities that come to you. Right?
Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps, right? Baby steps, like from another great movie that I quite liked, actually. But anyway, so he also said, Morpheus also said, I want to end here, that lesson number one was saying, you know, he said that, Neo, sooner or later, you're going to realize, just as I did, that there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path.
Yeah. Great quote.
Pretty amazing stuff, right? Yeah.
So, believing without seeing.
Right, exactly.
That's lesson number one.
Lesson number one.
Having, I guess, strong faith and conviction in what your purpose in life is.
Right, knowing what drives you.
Lesson number two.
Okay, lesson number two, experience matters. Okay, experience matters. Now, drawing on experience, Morpheus himself, drawing on that experience of being in the Matrix and fighting the agents, Morpheus knows very well when to fight and when to run. Right? He knows when to pick his spots because, you know, no one has ever defeated the agents before, right? Everyone's has died, he says, right? So he also chooses his words very, very carefully. And he also lets other people sort of discover things on their own. He doesn't really want to just, you know, tell you. He'd rather kind of show you and let you figure it out on your own.
Right.
So for example, when Neo wants to know what the Matrix is, Morpheus says, unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Yeah, like a lot of his quotes are kind of like riddles that make you think. And when you watch the movie over and over again.
As you have.
Yeah, you kind of... see what he meant.
Right, right. It goes, you know, I mean, that's how, I mean, I've got to watch it like way more times because obviously I still don't get all of it. But, you know, but that's the thing about sometimes movies is I'll watch and be like, okay, that was fun, but then I'll watch it again. Like, oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Wachowskis' movies are like that generally.
Yeah, exactly.
They're better the second, third time around.
Exactly, or even the 700th time around, yeah. For you. But so now, even though Morpheus acts on faith and belief in what he's doing, he also knows that being dead is not going to help him. So he's very, you know, he's not just reckless. He's not going to just go there and just do things just out of that passion that he has. He does, you know, balance that out with being smart about things. So he uses his experience then to overcome things. And for example, like when he was being tortured by the agents, mm-hmm. you know, when he was captured and being tortured by the agents, you know, he used that sort of, you know, experience that he had of, you know, okay, I know what it takes to kind of get out of this in order to break those bonds and escape when Neo comes to rescue him in that helicopter and
yeah.
says, you know, Morpheus, get up, you know, and he gets up and runs, right? So that was cool as well. Now, for us, though, what does that mean? So for us, it means it's really good to try new things, to experiment, to make mistakes, as I talked about with Miss Frizzle, to make mistakes and get messy and whatever. It's, you know, this will add to your overall experience and give you sort of mental tools to help you solve problems or be creative when you need to be.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. And sort of the big problem for most people, the biggest problem, though, is how can we accumulate experience without actually spending a lot of time or living in the matrix or having things plugged in and learning them, you know, through a computer, right? And I think the best way to do that is by reading books,
mm-hmm.
right? Everything you want to know or everything you want to learn or do has basically been done by someone else, has been learned by someone else. And so it's possible that by reading the experience of other people, this will help your own brain to learn those experiences that you read about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Morpheus even talked about this. He said that if real is what you can feel, smell, taste, and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain.
Yeah, that's what he says when he takes, when he builds a matrix for Neo the first time.
Right, when he shows him in that training program to sell him, right?
The guns, right?
Yeah. You know, lots of guns, and Neo does that thing. That was cool too. But anyway, so your brain. See, the thing is, your brain doesn't actually distinguish between what's actually real, like physically real, and what is imagined. There have been a lot of experiments and tests that show that if you, for example, practice your basketball free throw in just your brain, you'll actually improve the same amount as if you physically did it.
Yeah, image training.
Right, image training, right? And so that's why they say your brain really has no idea. So it's so important, actually, to think about what you actually, you know, the images and thoughts you keep in your brain as well, because those do have an effect on your outer world, too. So, you know, so when you read about other people, back to this, when you read about other people's experiences, it's a good idea to imagine yourself in those situations and also being successful in those situations. Too. And this will help create this sort of brain muscle memory of that experience. Mm-hmm. And when you actually need it and when you need to, you know, do something that requires that experience, your brain will fetch that and, you know, help you, you know, when you need it the most.
Okay. So lesson number two is experience matters.
Right.
Lesson number three.
Okay. Lesson number three is seeing the big picture. Okay. Mm. Every great leader in time, in history or whatever, and, you know, in the future will always have an image of what the big picture should be. And it's no different in this case, you know, what the ultimate, you know, goal or vision is. And, you know, for Morpheus, he knows what the Matrix is. He knows that it's a prison for the mind.
Right.
And it's a place used by machines to harvest humans for, you know, energy to survive, right? Mm-hmm. Turn them into batteries, mm-hmm. right? Basically,
mm-hmm.
you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he also, though, he sees this kind of future where humans are free. You know, he envisions, you know, that everyone will be born free and will be able to, you know, be free from the whole Matrix thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows that there are also challenges and work to be done. And but he always kind of keeps things in perspective because he knows that everything he is doing is a step towards realizing that primary goal of ridding the world of the machines and freeing humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very key for him. He you know, one of the key steps for him, for example, was in order to make the vision reality, he had to find the one.
The one, right.
Right? So that was one of the steps.
That final piece of the puzzle for the big picture.
Right, exactly, right? He knew that it was going to exist in some form, you know, from talking to the Oracle or whoever, but, you know, he had to find the one or to do it. And that was his sort of, you know, his purpose in life. And so he said to Neo, you know, you are the one, Neo. You see, you have spent, you know, the last years looking for me, but I've spent my entire life looking for you. That whole idea of him, you know, searching for him all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so he sees the big picture. He knows what he has to do. Now, for us, though, what can we do, right? So for for us, it's really important to be clear about your goals, the way that you want your life to be. And you have to be very clear about how your life will look like if you had absolutely no limits, mm-hmm. sort of like what, you know, we're doing in The Matrix, and the whole idea of freeing your mind is, you know, there are no limits. You know, there is no spoon, right?
Exactly.
There is no spoon, right? I love that. There is no spoon thing. I mean, how many times you see that on t-shirts and stuff too, right? But anyway, there is no spoon, right? And so, but at the same time, you do have to be realistic as well. You can't just be living in this whole fantasy that things are, you know, that, for example, you know, if you're 40 years old, you can't imagine you're going to be, a basketball player, professional basketball player. It's just not going to happen, right? You may be able to own a basketball team, but, you know, you have to be realistic. And if you think you're going to be, you know, for example, like I said, a professional athlete or maybe an entertainer, you have to realize that only a really small number of people actually get
mm-hmm.
there.
There's only one, the one. Not everybody can be the one.
That is deeply profound.
So you got to be realistic.
You got to be realistic, right? Not everyone can be the one. Absolutely, exactly. So instead, think about how you would serve the world, right? What is it that you believe in that can help, you know, you and also help other people as well? Everyone has something to give in some small way, and mm-hmm. They oftentimes don't value that, and so it's important to kind of think about, okay, what is it that I can actually, you know, do, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you also need to look at your life from the perspective of having a role to play, sort of, to help the world in some way, that, you know, that you are significant. You may not be the one,
mm-hmm.
but you are significant.
Yeah, there are all of those other significant people, you know, every single soldier.
Right, exactly. Everyone's is like a cog in the wheel, right?
Exactly.
There's like, you know, like on the, you know, in the Matrix on the team, there's like the guy that, you know, plugs people into the computers. Mm-hmm. There's the guy that runs the computers.
Tank.
There's Tank, right? And, you know, his brother, Dozer?
Yeah, Dozer. Tank and Dozer.
Except, of course, if you have like the mole on your team and, you know, what was his name again?
Cypher.
Yeah. Right, that bad dude, Cypher. you need like, you know, Trinity, someone who is like, you know, kind of skeptical about who you are but wants to believe as well and, you know, pushes you to be better kind of
mm-hmm.
thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very cool. So, anyway, so for example, you know, the sort of role to play or whatever is, you know, for myself, I believe that, you know, the presentations work that I do, the stuff that I do here, the video work, whatever, it kind of empowers people. I feel that that's what that's kind of doing. It's kind of helping you kind of, you know, give people a way to seize opportunities, to empower them. So, you know, so it's really important to find what you can do that gives your life meaning and purpose. You know, it's not going to be easy. I don't think it's something that you discover, you know, one day just waking up and realize that you're the one.
Mm.
You know, he was skeptical as well until he followed the white rabbit and all
right.
that kind of stuff. It won't be easy, but, you know, it will be worth the effort because in the end, you'll ultimately be much happier and satisfied with your life knowing that you've, you know, that you are important in some way and realize that you have something to give and that you can make a difference in the world. So, you know, as Morpheus says, I'm trying to free your mind, Neo, but I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
Yeah. So we can, I guess, I'll show the door to somebody.
Exactly. Whether it's showing them the door out, we don't know, but it's showing them the door anyway. Somehow they can do something.
Okay, so that's lesson number three, seeing the big picture. A quick recap of the lessons?
Yeah, sure. So lesson number one was believing without seeing, right?
Mm-hmm.
To know exactly, you know, what you want to do and that just kind of, you know, have that faith and
right.
knowing that you can achieve what you really believe in and,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson number two is experience matters, right? Taking the experience you have, and if you don't have the experience, go out and learn it by just reading books and getting as much experience as you can because that will ultimately help you, you know, be more creative and problem solve and do great things.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson number three is seeing the big picture. Having a clear vision of the kind of life that you want or something that you know that you can contribute in some way and doing something, you know, to make that happen and having a purpose in your life. So seeing the big picture.
Wow, that was fun learning from Morpheus.
That was fun.
Thanks very much for bringing those lessons in.
Thank you for having me.
That's Carl Kwan with Learn from the Greats. And here is music from the soundtrack of Matrix. It's the Propeller Heads with Spy Break.